Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the gospel lesson. Verse 3, "No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." Because sin is sin is sin is sin, right? No difference. It's sin. Your old Adam inside you, no different from the most stubborn of unbelievers and atheists. Sin is sin is sin. And sin deserves punishment. And the real wonder and miracle is when God's judgment on sin is held off long enough for the sinner to repent. And by the way, as a pastor, I've seen this happen. Or when the judgment on sin is fashioned in such a way as to call the sinner to come home rather than driving him far from God. And sometimes that's difficult to watch. But looking back on it, this is an act of God, a miracle of God. Preaching, Jesus doesn't mince words, does he? So the talk was going around about the Galileans who in the course of their worship and their offering sacrifices, some of the soldiers of Pilate came along and killed them, slaughtered them, shed their blood, and mingled it with the blood on the altar. And how horrible that was. And some in the crowd are telling Jesus this. They're expecting the normal reaction, right? What's the normal reaction? Oh, how horrible. How could those things, could that happen? You know what he says? Rephrasing it slightly. You think you're better than them? Every single one here should die in such a way. How'd that go over? Or the 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell, you think you're better than them? Let's rephrase it this way. Every single person in this building should die in such a way. Jesus preaches the law. He knows how to apply the law, doesn't he? We could say it, go one step further. Every single person in this building should be going to hell. Yeah. Every single one of us. Different congregation, I said this to them, and somebody from the back calls out, "But we're not." So I'm up the pulpit, and they go, "And why not?" "Because of Jesus." Yeah. There you got the two parts of great Lutheran teaching, law and gospel, the law. Don't hold back on it. The absolute truth of the law is, yeah, we should be going to hell. We should be. Left to ourselves, now that's what it would be. Now, on Wednesday, we talked about the cleansing of the temple, where Jesus goes into the temple, and he looks around, and they're doing religion in the temple, but it's religion that human beings are putting together, and they're getting it completely wrong because religion there involved a marketplace and money changers and what could fairly be called, and he called it this later on, during Holy Week. He called it Den of Thieves. That was religion. And it needed to be cleansed because God will have his place here where he sets out in front of us forgiveness and life and salvation. And that's what religion is about. And the forgiveness is in Jesus. The life is in Jesus. The salvation is in Jesus. And anybody getting that wrong is doing religion completely wrong. So now along comes this lesson, and they're doing religion wrong again. You know what kind of religion it is? It's the popular religion, where when you look at things happening to people, you say, there's a book that goes by this title, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. And basically, Jesus comes along and says, okay, where's the good people? Silence. That's not when bad things happen to good people. It is the miracle of God when the bad things don't happen to the bad people. And the miracle of God when the good things happen to the bad people. And that's the religion that God does. So it was time for a parable. A parable. 3 years I've come looking for fruit and there is none. Let it alone for one more year. Let me work with it. I think it's a little bit more than just coincidence that when we look at the time frame of the ministry of Jesus, the earthly ministry, we generally say, that was 3 years. And now, 3 years coming to the end, where's the fruit? But one more year, we'll call it the year of grace. One more year, and in that year, when you look at this in terms of the ministry of Jesus, that one more year, what's it involve? It involves Jesus setting his eyes toward Jerusalem and going there to bleed and die and rise for the sins of the world. And then extending that year of grace so that it is still going on and there is still people being pulled out of sin and death and into the kingdom of God. And after that comes the judgment. And it is Jesus, the intercessor. What does it mean to be an intercessor? To be the go-between. A step further on that. To be the guarantor for the person you are interceding for. Jesus is the intercessor. And there's two parts of that. He is the intercessor because he prays for us, and he prays for us constantly. And he prays for every soul in the world, interceding before his Father, praying and pleading that there be more opportunity for grace, praying and pleading when we have sinned. He is the intercessor praying for our forgiveness. And then the second part, to be the guarantee, the guarantor of those blessings. He is the one who steps in the way of the judgment, who stands between the judgment and us, to be the guarantee so that we might not receive the judgment poured out on us. He steps in the way. receiving the judgment for our sins in his own flesh on the tree of the cross, so that we might receive the blessings that he has earned. It's what he does for us. And without that guarantee and without that intercessor, we are absolutely lost. Without Jesus interceding for us, our religion would be only a fantasy of something nice is going to happen. While having the judgment and the sentence of God's wrath hanging over us. But with Jesus, we have the judgment taken away and the blessings given. And then Jesus says, unless you repent. You know what repentance is? Repentance has two parts, and the first part does you no good. That's what we learned in seminary. We learned it in seminary because if we hadn't learned it in confirmation, if we hadn't learned it in Sunday school, here was a third try at it. Two parts, and the first does you no good. First part of repentance is to look at your sin, to regret your sin, to know yourself as a sinner, to deplore your sin, to seek to turn away from your sin. Now, if you seek to turn away from your sin on your own, how far are you going to get? Ask somebody who is trying to follow a diet and lose weight. It's tough. And you keep falling back into the old same patterns, but these are the patterns that earn death. So the first part is to see yourself and seek to turn away from it. The second part, and this is where the Greek word for repentance comes in. The Greek word is metanoao, to have a change of mind. And what it means is that all of a sudden, you didn't know this, but now it's dawned on you. And it's completely different from anything you thought it was. This thing, this revelation from God, this grace that God offers and gives in Jesus Christ. And when you see that and wake up to it, God is completely different from anything you thought he might be. When you see it and wake up to it, religion is not what you thought it was. So instead of being the judging and righteous and commandment-giving God and simply leaving it at that, all of a sudden in Jesus Christ, God is totally different from what you thought. He is the God of grace and mercy, of love and forgiveness. He is the God who sends his Son into the world to take the sins of the world so that he might pour out the blessings. That's what he does. And those who come to faith later in life have this sudden moment of, I never knew that. This is what Jesus is? Really? I have to tell my friends. Very frequently like that. That's, by the way, why when somebody actually comes to the faith, you turn them around and send them to their friends, because their friends haven't heard this either. And they're all excited with a message of salvation that, hey, you never would have dreamed this is what Christianity actually is. It's about Jesus and about what he did for us, about forgiveness and life and salvation, about rising from the dead and eternity and all the blessings of God that he wants to pour out on us. And religion is different. To be a Christian does not mean that we are trying to earn points with God or we're trying to make ourselves better people by following all kinds of rules and regulations. Instead, we're getting together on Sunday morning to sing because God has done something absolutely amazing for us in Jesus Christ, and it's called grace. Part two of repentance is the forgotten part. All over the world, people are quite familiar, yes, indeed, with part one. Regret your sin. Be sorry for your sin. Repent in dust and ashes. Part two. That's where the life is. That's where new birth, forgiveness, eternity. So Jesus intercedes. Jesus intercedes for us, stepping in the way so that we might have the blessings of God. He intercedes not just by words, but also by placing himself in the way of the judgment so that we may be saved. And that's the summary of the parable and of everything else. But I want to wrap this back into the beginning. So what happens when we look around and we see natural disasters? Or we see troubles and suffering in life? What do? And again, there's two parts. And it's in the news. Natural disasters all over the place. They happen constantly. Suffering in life. It happens among your friends and family. What do? First is whenever anything comes sweeping over us or our friends or our family or the people in Nebraska with the floods, is that we allow those things to drive us to God. Those are calls to pray, calls to run to God, because only in Him do we find any help for our souls. Only in Him do we find a loving God. Like Luther said, I want no other God than this hairy God. The God born for me in Bethlehem, laid in the manger, who walked the dusty roads of Palestine, who took my sins on himself and was nailed to the cross for me, who rose for me. That's the only God that will do me any good. And so I'm running to him in my troubles. And then part two. When we see a disaster or trouble come on somebody else, it is to reach out with the love of God to somebody who has also been created in the image of God, to somebody who God has loved, and who many times God is seeking to call into his kingdom. And out of sin and out of death and into life and into his blessings, because there's a soul at stake here. And a part of our love and worship of God is to pray for. Jesus interceded for us far beyond what we are able to do for others. But let us also intercede for them. and in that way show the love of Christ, because we have received the love of Christ. And then, of course, we come back to church and we sing his praises again, because this amazing God, this amazing Savior, is our Savior with grace and mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.